Good morning, church. Well, happy Mother's Day, ladies. You bless this world. If all the mothers could stand up, I just want to pray a blessing over you. And if you could extend your hands or put your hands on the moms. Tireless, sometimes very hard job that you guys do, and I just want to acknowledge that. You bless this world, you bless our families, and you bless this church. So Father God, we do pray a blessing over these women, and thank you for their fierce love, and thank you for their strengths, and the perseverance, and the unconditional love that they carry, God. We bless them, strengthen them, God. Give them great wisdom and discernment as they navigate their lives. But I thank you. I thank you that you have them. They are yours. And you are faithful, God. So give them peace in their hearts and in their minds. Again, give them strength and fill them fresh with your Holy Spirit, God. In Jesus' name, amen. So I was thinking, I'm like, okay, it's Mother's Day. Do I come up with a, you know, kind of a Mother's Day sermon? And I was looking at the scriptures that, you know, the providence of God had us in John 3:16 today. And it's like, what better to preach on for the fierce love of moms than the fierce love of God? Amen. So, we're in the gospel according to John in chapter 3. And not only is this gospel the most read among the gospels, but chapter 3 is one of the most important portions of scripture in the Bible. Jesus is sharing revelatory truths of salvation with a man named Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a Pharisee, a religious elitist. A member of the Sanhedrin, so he's a ruler of the Jews. So he's wealthy and he's powerful. One would think Nicodemus had everything anyone would ever need to be content, but he doesn't. He's missing the most valuable gift a human can have, a relationship with God. You see, religion, good deeds, and morality alone cannot earn a place into God's kingdom. It is by grace through faith in Christ alone. That's what assures salvation to mankind. Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night to meet with him and get some answers. He's curious. Last week we began to study this dialogue between the two. Nicodemus acknowledges that Jesus is from God because of the miracles Jesus has been performing around Jerusalem during the time of Passover. But he has yet to be born again. Nicodemus has yet to be born again. He's seeking, but he has yet to be saved. Jesus explains that one must be cleansed by and filled with the Holy Spirit to be born again. There are two unreconcilable truths at work in these texts. No one can come to faith in Christ unless the Father first draws them. So salvation is 100% an act of God. Also true, mankind is 100% responsible for the decisions that they make. And will be held accountable to every one of them with God. Today we continue studying in this profound interaction between Jesus and Nicodemus. It includes the most quoted and well-known scripture in the Bible. So let's get started. I'm going to read the text and then we'll break it down. John chapter 3 verses 11 through 21. Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I've spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Amen. So let's get started. In verse 11, Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony." We talked about this last week. This is the third time Jesus says this. Our translation of "very truly I tell you" is "amen, amen." He says it twice because it's an emphatic declaration. What I'm about to tell you is the truth. The definition of amen is "it is and it shall be so." It is and it shall be so. It is and it shall be so. We speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but you still do not believe. You still do not accept our testimony. So he says "we." Jesus says "we." So Jesus is alluding to the Old Testament prophets, John the Baptist, and the Old Testament prophets that have been prophesying about the Messiah and convicting Israel of their disobedience. God has been speaking to these people for a long, long time, and they kill the prophets. They kill the truth teller. They deny the truth. They've rejected, truth. And Jesus now is confronting Nicodemus. He is the shock caller in the temple. He is a very learned man of the Torah. He knows we call it the Old Testament. That was their scripture. The guy knows scripture. And now he's faced with this young preacher. Who, by the way, it is saying a lot for Nicodemus that he shows up. He came to Jesus at night, probably because he didn't want to be seen by the other Pharisees, or Jesus had tons of people around him during the day and he wanted a private meeting with this young preacher. But either way, or maybe both are true, either way, he's now engaged. This teacher, this rabbi is now acknowledging Jesus as rabbi, as teacher. Like he's something, well, God has drawn Nicodemus. Like he has all the knowledge, but he's missing something. And this young preacher, Jesus from Nazareth, he's got some answers. I need to find out. And he acknowledges Jesus like, "Hey, me and some of the fellas, we know you're from God because we've seen the miracles you've been performing and we've heard you teach and you teach like with authority that we've never heard before." So he acknowledges, and I'm sure Nicodemus thinks that Jesus is going to go, hey, thanks, man. But Jesus totally ignores the compliment and begins to speak to his heart. Nicodemus' greatest need was he needed not more knowledge, not more memorization, but a true relationship with God. And so Jesus ignores the compliments and begins to speak to him about what it means to be born again. And so that's, and he's, for the third time, he's saying, very truly I tell you that we've been speaking to you about the truth and you don't believe. You guys keep rejecting the truth. A testimony is a witness. It does not point to opinions that may be debated, but to objective fact. And so Jesus is giving him facts that are not to be debated. And so he says, amen, amen, in front of what I'm about to say. It is and it shall be so. In the first chapter of John's gospel, when he's introducing us to Jesus, you know, the Word was with God. The Word was God. He also says in verse 11, he came to that which was his own. He came to his own people, but his own did not receive him. They didn't receive him as Messiah. And this is that the breaking of Nicodemus is he spent his whole life thinking that you earn your way into the kingdom. You do the do's and you don't the don'ts. But inside, he was one of those Pharisees that were hypocrites. Jesus says, you're filled with the bones of dead men. You're spiritually dead doing all these do's and don'ts. See, non-acceptance of the testimony of the truth was not a passing refusal, but a habit for the Jews. And Jesus is breaking this guy right now. Spoiler alert, Nicodemus does end up getting saved. Hallelujah. Amen. But there's another Pharisee that was rigid that got saved. His name was Saul of Tarsus. Turned into Paul the Apostle. Wrote most of the New Testament. Solid brother in Christ. So see, nobody's too far gone. But sometimes our intellect can be our worst enemy. For human beings, the geniuses of this world, that you're like, no, there ain't no God. It's like, dude, you're a fool. Too smart for your own good. So verse 12 and 13. Jesus is saying, after he's saying you reject it, he goes, I've spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. So Jesus is saying, I've spoke to you about earthly things. What's he talking about? He's talking about the new birth. He's talking about being born again. That happens here on earth. I'm speaking to you about this, the stuff that happens here on earth, earthly things of the regeneration of the heart, taking the spiritually dead, giving them life and giving them eternal life in me. I'm speaking to you about earthly things. How am I going to go deeper into the things of heaven with you if you're not even getting this part? So what are the heavenly things? Well, the relationship of the Father to the Son. The mystery of God's kingdom. his eternal plans for redemption for his people, the eternality about it, about, you know, eternity and glory with God. How am I going to go deeper if you're not even getting that you must be born again? You must be cleansed and filled by the Spirit of God. It's not all about knowledge. Hearing, faith does come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, absolutely. But it has to go from here to here. And again, that's that tension. It's 100% a work of God. It's nothing that we do, right? We say, I found God, because that's the only human way we can talk about our, man, I found Jesus. We didn't find Jesus. He had us in mind before he made any of us. And that should be reassuring, that we were loved by him since the beginning of time, before anything was created. We've been on his mind. And then Jesus says, no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven. He's given his credentials. So nobody has ever been in the glory with the Father, in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. I was around when everything got created. I was around when even heaven was created. He's always been. Nobody has been in the glory and come to earth except for me, basically, he says. But he calls himself the Son of Man. I love that. He calls himself the Son of Man more than he calls himself the Son of God. Why? Because the Son of Man identifies him with you and me. He loved to be identified as a human, as a person, because he is the greatest of all time. Amen. He's the greatest human that ever existed and ever will exist. Period. I share this with First Service too. It's a little bit of a sidetrack, but I just want to share it. Like, man, you know, growing up, I idolized rock stars and sports figures and actors, and like, I wonder if I'll see him if I go to Hollywood. But once I met Jesus, it's like, and the more that I get to know him, like, I don't fan out anymore. I just don't. I respect people and they are good at their craft. It's like, hey, I've got a respect for that. But I don't fan out on people because I know the greatest of all time. Amen. Does that make sense? It's like, nobody compares. Hey, you might be able, you know, Rory McIlroy is a really good golfer, but he can't bring me salvation. He can't save this wretched sinner from hell, you know? I know the greatest. And he's giving his credentials right now. Nobody, I stand in front of you, Nico, and I give you the truth. Like, I come from, I have seen, and I know that what I am telling you is the undebatable truth. The first Adam was from earth. Second Adam, Jesus, is from heaven. But again, he became one of us. He identifies himself with us. That, you guys, is love. That he would want to be one of us, one of his people. That he would give up perfection in glory, nothing missing, nothing broken, to come into this world. Woo! That's love. That's love. And he says this in verses 14 and 15, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. Now Jesus is speaking scripture to Nicodemus. He knows Nicodemus knows this story, and so he's identifying himself. He calls him the son, he calls himself the Son of Man, just as Moses lifted up the serpent. So let's go back to the Old Testament and look at Numbers chapter 21 verses 4 through 8. So God has delivered the Israelites out of Egypt. The plagues came. The Egyptians finally said, fine, you guys split. We're over it, you know? I'm paraphrasing, right? But that's what happened. And now they're in the wilderness, okay? They traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no bread, there's no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, we sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us. So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. This is a shadow of salvation. This is God working salvation through the Israelites at that time, through Moses, the mediator, right? Jesus Christ is our mediator between a holy father and a sinful person. Christ is our mediator. And so we see that the people, and by the way, watch your complaining. I'm not saying God's going to kill you if you complain, but there's something to that. There's something to having a grateful heart, going, you know what, God, I might be going through a hard time, but thank you for, at the very least, picking me to be in your family. You've given me breath in my lungs. I have all these things that I'm grateful for. And go down a grateful list. Get yourself out of complaining. Amen? So Moses makes the serpent. He puts it on a pole and he lifts it up. People are getting bitten by snakes and dying. But he says, look at the pole and you won't die. Okay, think about this. Can you imagine if getting bit by a snake, ow, ow, well, look at the pole. No, I want to look at a cactus. And if God was good, he'd let me look at a cactus rather than that pole. You see people's reasoning like, oh, all roads lead to God. I don't want to look at the sun high and lifted up. I want to go this route. Okay, well, you're bitten by the sin. You know, like, the reality is this, and we'll get into it. I might be moving forward, but I'm flowing, so. When our little, beautiful little baby feet hit that operating table, wah, we were bit, okay? We inherited a sin nature that is passed down from generation to generation to generation. And the only cure, right? The remedy for death from sin is Christ. Just like the serpent on the pole, the Son of Man was lifted up. And I didn't write it down, but that word for lifted up is exalted in Greek. You see, when Jesus was lifted up on the cross, he was exalted. It was a holy moment of sacrifice. Yes, it was violent. Yes, it was terrible. It was, you know, he took sin and shame upon himself, but it was a holy moment of him being exalted and the sacrifice, the perfect one, the sinless one, taking the blame for the ones that he loves, his creation. And he was beaten to a pulp, and it was gnarly, right, what he went through. But that was nothing compared to the wrath of God that was laid on him for the sins of you and I. For the sins of the world, he paid. You see, this is love. God didn't leave us or forsake us. He made a way. And it doesn't take a genius. It doesn't take wealth or, you know, stature in society. He is blowing Nicodemus's mind right now. Verse 16. Here we go. 3:16. John 3:16. What a beautiful verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now he lays it down. He's saying, Nicodemus, for God so loved that he gave. He gave redemption in the Son, the one and only Son, that the monogenes, the unique one. Like I said, greatest of all time. No one will ever, ever be like him. Ever. He is the one and only. And he gave. And this is the mind blower for him. That whoever, what? Not just the Jews? No. Whoever. You see, the gospel is narrow enough to exclude the brightest mind on this planet that rejects him, and wide enough to accept the most filthy, sinning, Satanagato-worshipping pagan scumbag like your pastor. Redeemed by the blood, changed, deserved hell 100%. But I know it says the road is narrow, but salvation is wide enough to scoop anybody up. Amen. I love that. And Nicodemus is like, what? I thought it was just ours, the Jews. You mean whoever? Yeah. Whoever. Whoever. Or whosoever in some of your versions. Whosoever believes in Jesus shall not perish. That word is apolamai. And there's different, I wanted to share all the descriptions of apolamy, excuse me. That which is ruined. No longer usable for its intended purpose. To destroy, but not to cause one to cease to exist. That's a heavy one right there. Loss of well-being. There is no being well. Remember, we're human beings. We're talking about being eternal. When we pass from this life, our spirit is going to live on somewhere. And that's what he says. Those whoever believes in the Son of God, the Son of Man, shall not perish, shall not be destroyed, but live on, shall not be useless for its intended purpose. Our spirits, Do you know what your purpose is here on earth? Because I'm going to let you know right now. If you don't, it's to glorify God. It's to enjoy Him and enjoy each other. Love each other. Love God, love each other. That's our purpose. Amen. You can clap. It's okay. Yay! Here's the thing. None of us want to, well, let me say it like this. A loss of well-being. See, atheists, right now, well, I deny God's existence. He don't, but see, God does exist and His presence is around. The goodness and the grace and the sovereign grace of God. Look, you could see people that mock Him, blaspheme Him, man, and they're doing well in this earth. They're driving Lambos, right? They're doing good, but check it out. So He has grace, but what is it worth to spend an eternity where there is no goodness? You see, people are prideful and they deny God's existence and they deny, you know, the Son of God and they deny the Godhead because He's around. There is goodness here. There is peace and love and joy and light. There will not be that in hell. There is no goodness. There is no light. It is dark, dark, dark. And it is sad, sad, sad. And it is pain and just, it says the weeping and gnashing of teeth. So there's people crying at sadness, and there's people, you. But there's never any comfort. There's never any well-being. So, we shall not perish. Hallelujah. Because I don't want to perish. Amen. Natural life came by God's breath. Eternal life comes by Christ's death. And this is Jesus laying it out to him. Verse 17. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. You see, He did die for the sins of the world, and the world is invited into salvation. Again, it's that tension between the two. It's a total work of God. No one comes to the Son unless the Father first draws him. Well, that's up to you. But then 100%, I'm accountable for my decisions. You know, to surrender to God, to crucify my ego and say, you know what? I'm not the captain of my ship. I don't manifest my own destiny by speaking it out. God, I'm yours. Jesus, You died for my sin-soaked life. You died in my place. And so by my faith in You, and that it's, I believe You. I believe You are the Son of God, and I believe that You died for my sins. Your righteousness is now mine to have. You see, we are covered in the blood, the perfect blood of Christ. And so when God looks at us, He sees holy and blameless. That's the only way sinful man can have a relationship with a holy God. Sin cannot exist in the presence of a holy God. So God Himself died in our place. There was no sin found in Him. And yet He was sacrificed. That holy moment of being exalted in our place. so that whoever believes shall be saved. Hallelujah. So this is wonderful. This is called fierce love. And moms, that's why I wanted to share it today. Because your fierce love is should be honored. And I'm like, we're preaching on this. This is God's fierce love for his children. Just like you fiercely love yours. And Jesus came not to condemn us, but to save us. Not to condemn the spiritually dead, the mockery, the blaspheming. Did not come to condemn, but to save. When he comes back, he will be judging. He will be coming as a judge. But for now, he came to save us. And so Jesus continues with talking to Nicodemus about salvation. And he says in verse 18, whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's monogenes, one and only son, the unique one. You see that it's a two-sided coin, right? He just said the son did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save it. But then he says, whoever believes is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already. Why? Because the gavel has already been down. Again, when your baby feet hit that operating table, whack! We all, because of the sin nature, because we inherited it from Adam and Eve, generation after generation after generation, we are naturally born to do what we want and not what God wants, to please our flesh and not the spirit. We are on our way to hell. But God loves us. So Jesus is just saying, hey, whoever believes is not condemned. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Yes, you're still a sinner. So is your pastor. But it's not about perfection. It's about direction. This is Jesus talking about the direction of his people. And that is what an authentic walk with Christ looks like. It can be messy sometimes. And I love that about his place is that we aren't, well, let me say this carefully. We like to be authentic. We don't like to pretend like we got it all. Man, I got it. I don't really sin anymore. I've reached that, you know, I've just reached that spot in God and in scripture where I'm just pretty much perfect. It's a lie. So why not embrace it? It's messy. It can be awesome. I mean, walking with Jesus can be wonderful and beautiful, really. And like, if you have the right perspective, most of the time it is. But then we can go through stuff, right? Just as the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, he will lead us into some adversity. Why? To sanctify us. To make us more like him. When you're squeezed, what comes out of you is what's in you. And a lot of the times it's like, ew, I didn't know that was still there. I'm sorry, Jesus. I'm sorry, God. I do want to be more like you. I repent of that. I'll learn from that. You see, when we fall forward because our direction is towards him. So we're not going to be perfect till we're with him, but he knows that. That's what's the beautiful thing about our King, is that he made a path for us to him. Forgiveness is bountiful for the child of God. Does that mean we should just keep sinning? No. God forbid. But don't ever let your past or your sins condemn you. You acknowledge it. The conviction comes. You're born again. You'll get convicted. Man, I shouldn't have said that. Man, I shouldn't have looked at that. Man, I shouldn't have done that. Own it. Repent. Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I dust myself off. I turn from that sin and I turn to you. My direction is to you and I will keep moving. I'm going to keep on moving. Keep on moving. Devil, you ain't holding me back. You ain't going to mess with my head. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. None of us have earned our way into the community of God, into the kingdom of God. It was him. So don't let that ever keep you from moving forward in God. Verse 19 and 20. This is the verdict. Oh, there's been a verdict. The light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. This is why so many people reject Christ. They love their sin. They love depravity. They love immorality. They love the darkness. It's just human nature. Because the light of Jesus, the light of the truth, one thing I know about scripture is it has turned the light on Jonesy's sinful, speckled heart. Right? It's, oh my goodness. And the more that I got to know God through the scriptures, through prayer, through worship, the more that I get to know him, I'm like, you know, flipping people off on the freeway, just, it's not working for me anymore. My heart hurts. I used to be able to do it really easy. But now, you know, getting angry took a while. Some of the things you're being sanctified of are going to take a while. Some things, phew, glory to God. Some things, it's a cutting away of the truth. It's that my decisions are my decisions, but it is God's spirit. It is God's light in me that is sanctifying those things. And it's not that we walk through life going, don't sin, don't sin, don't sin. It's going, you love me. Like, wow, I did that and I feel bad about it, but you still love me. You're not going to leave me nor forsake me. Wow. I just want to serve you. I want to reject the darkness. God, shine your light on everything in my life. And what breaks your heart, God, let it break mine. Please, please let that conviction hold strong in me, that I would not let darkness in my life and make excuses for it and continue in that, because that is not your best for me. And I want the fruit of a life with God, because here's the thing. The gospel is not about making your life better now, right? Just name it and claim it. That's not the gospel. But the more you get to know God, the better life gets. Amen. I know my life's gotten better because you start doing things like taking care of this evil thing. This changes. This chaotic war room, the bad neighborhood, begins to get cleaned up because it's being renewed and renewed and renewed and renewed. That's why we hold scripture so high here. It's the word of God. Jesus is the word made flesh. His nature's in here. Who we are is in here. Who he is in here. How we break through. How we hold on to promises. And when we walk through life, we can trust him. We can trust him at his word. And we begin to change. Now we can go through hard times and we're actually helping others. In those hard times, we're looking for places to reach out and bless others. And when we are going through those hard times, we know the anchor to hold on to. I am anchored in the Word of God. I'm anchored in Christ. So come what may, blessed be the name of the Lord. It's gonna be okay someday. Someday, it may be hard now, but someday it'll be all right. And maybe that'll be here in this life, but I know eternity's gonna be epic. We will not have to struggle anymore with anything. There'll be no more violence, no more lying, no more backbiting, no more cancer, no more insecurities. Just eternal life with God together, actually loving each other correctly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Including loving ourselves correctly. Finally. Finally. No more beating yourself up. Hallelujah. But this is the anchor that we hold on to because we're in the light, you guys. Even when we sin in the light. We are in the light of the truth of God. So allow that to happen. I say this a lot, but you can close the door and shut off the lights, but God's still there. He's still there. You're a child, even with the lights off, you're in the light of God. The truth has been, He lives in you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. You can run, but you can't hide. It's good to come to that realization. It's safe, though. Christ will lose none of his. See, he's faithful enough to save you and I. He's faithful enough to finish the work that he started in you and I. We have a safe trip home. Let that assurance secure you. So you don't beat yourself up. So you don't let the thoughts of condemnation come in. Rebuke that stuff. You're never going to be perfect here in this life. Till you're with Jesus, we're all going to make mistakes. That's okay. Learn from them. Don't make the same mistake over and over and over again. Okay. The word he uses for evil, he uses two different words for evil when he says they love the darkness because their deeds were evil. That's paneros. It means actively harmful, hurtful, evil, in effect or influence. Okay? That covers that part. And then he says, everyone who does evil hates the light. That's phalos. Worthless. Worthless evil. So that pretty much covers it all. Worthless acts of feeding the flesh and that evil that brings harm to others, harms to yourself. It's hurtful. So when people reject, Because they love their sin. They love themselves too much. And then verse 21. Oh wait. They prefer moral darkness and hate over the light of the truth. They love pride more than integrity. And they love prejudice more than faith. You know, people can be prejudiced without it just being a race thing. People are like, look at that guy. At least I ain't that guy. You see, faith is saying, man, we're all, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. I'm no better, I'm no worse than anybody else. Amen? So verse 21, but whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. This is a lifestyle of habitual obedience. Those who live by the truth, those who live by the truth, they walk in the light. We come into the light. We're walking in truth. It's not your truth. It's not my truth. It's the truth. There's a difference. Trust me. Our culture is like, yeah, the truth is whatever you want it to be. That's our culture. Be whoever you want. Doesn't matter. Make it up. Make it up as you go along. It's not true. That's not true. We're made in God's likeness. And the truth is in His holy scriptures, which is what He's left us with. This is His true nature, His promises, holiness, it's goodness. And the things that we do in the light, we have done so it can be seen that it has been done in the sight of God. The good deeds that we do, the obedience that we walk in, when somebody comes at you sideways and you use self-control, which is a superpower of the Holy Spirit, but you do that, you are doing good. You are returning love for evil in the sight of God. It is you saying, I'm a Christian, without saying I'm a Christian. It's the things that you do in the light that is recognized. That we do, everything we do, everything that we say we do in the sight of God. I do it to glorify Him. Amen? It preaches. You want to preach a sermon? Preach it with your life. To the ones around you. When God begins to change you and renew you, oh, they'll notice. It may take your family a while to believe, right? The closest to you but that's okay. You can't fight love, you guys. You can't fight Jesus. And by the way, none of this can even happen or be accomplished except by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. It's through His Holy Spirit who lives in us that gives us the ability to accomplish any of this. So, there's three things that we must depend on and trust fully in. And then I'll close. One, God's written and spoken word. What He has said, we depend on it, we trust fully in it. It is holy, it is true, it is with no error, and it is eternal. Number two, we must depend and trust fully on the guidance, conviction, and the power of the Holy Spirit. We trust in His guidance. Even if He guides us into adversity, we trust Him in that. We trust his convictions. If it convicts you, trust in that. And repent. And move forward. And we trust in his power, not our own. Right? It's his power, not our own. Not by, what is it? Not by might. Not, there's a song or something. Not by power, not by your own power. Not by your own might. But by the power of the Holy Spirit. Power of God within us. Number three. We must depend on and trust fully in the blood of Jesus Christ that saves fully and completely. So you know I'm a child of God. First and foremost, I'm a child of God, and I have been saved by the blood. End of story. Hallelujah. Amen. You don't let that devil trick you. Don't let him do that. You are saved by the blood of Christ. So listen. I don't want to close this without giving everybody an opportunity. You know, it's a very evangelistic text. And so, I don't know where everybody's at today, but God does. And you know, we talked about being born again, being filled with his Spirit. And so I want to make sure that everybody leaves here with assurance. And here's the thing. It's not the prayer that saves you, because we're going to pray. But the Bible says that all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I know from experience, because my walk with God has been messy. I cried out to Jesus for salvation in a rehab in Northern California, and it took 5 or 10 years after that for me to be born again. But I know God heard my prayer. I know God had me in his hands. I know he was guiding me the whole way. So that's what we want to do here. That's what we believe in this church, that if you call on the name of the Lord today, you shall be saved. If you mean it with your heart, God will do the rest. It's a 100% work by him. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, today's the day. If you have and you've backslidden and you just want to rededicate your heart to him, today is the day. Salvation has come to this house, friends. Don't pass up this opportunity. As I told you, you can't try to put a price on knowing you're right with God. So if you've never given your life to Jesus, you want to rededicate your heart today, just raise your hand and I'll pray with you. I see your hands. I see your hands. Amen. 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 All right. Well, church, let's pray this prayer together. Father God in heaven, thank you for your son Jesus. I'm a sinner and I need a savior. So I ask you, come into my heart, come into my life and cleanse me and change me. And I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit and make your word come alive. I thank you for your forgiveness and your mercy. And I turn from my sin. I turn to you. Today, I am yours and you are mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah, church. Father God, shine your face upon your people. Lord, I thank you for your beautiful, beautiful bride, your church that loves you. God, anoint them as they go. Let them be the light of the world to this dark world. Let them have favor as they go, God, and just represent you well, and let your peace rest on them, Jesus, and your favor. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys.